listening to Not So Live from Asteroid G, pulling off our glasses and saying, Lois, I come from a planet far away. I'm your host, Mike Finkelstein.
And your buddy, Mike the Ghoul. I had something funny for him, but then I'm gonna laugh because you said come.
I mean, we're not doing Clerks right now. We're doing Superman, but everyone knows that scene.
We don't need
to address it. Superman just came out this last week, mm-hmm. the movie from James Gunn launching the new DC Universe, kind of technically. I mean, we had Creature Commandos that was officially the start over on HBO a few months ago. And then mm-hmm. before that, technically, we had Suicide Squad and the first season of Peacemaker, which both sit in this, like, weird quasi-continuity. And if they sit in a quasi-continuity, that means the original Suicide Squad sits...
I don't know.
It's a reboot, and, like, with any reboot, some of the old shit carries over. Like, when they did Crisis on Infinite Earths and said, oh yeah, all the superheroes are getting rebooted, except for Hawkman, because we're gonna take a year to reboot him, then we'll reboot him, but all of his other adventures... DC's fucked up. This is just...
Yeah.
If you're a DC fan, you're used to the reboots not being complete reboots, and we all move on.
Yeah, but changing the story, changing the theme, a year or two later, something doesn't take, and we move along to something.
Yeah, exactly. Next. Even though, like, I've seen people point out, you know, if you just watched Man of Steel... and then went right into Superman and ignored everything that came in between those two and just mm-hmm. focus on that and accepted the fact that the actors have been recast, it's almost the perfect sequel to the original mm-hmm. Man of Steel.
Yeah, it's a pretty good job. I enjoyed this movie. It was pretty good.
It was good.
I was surprised.
It was good in a lot of ways. I am going to bitch about things because that's my job.
I'm sure I will too.
I'm the one that bitches about things on this podcast for sure. But I will agree with you. On the overall, I really mm-hmm. liked the film. It was a solid B+, A- movie, and that's primarily on the strength of two real things. One, the casting was phenomenal.
Yep.
And two, even though I don't think it does the best job of giving a Superman in his own story, I feel like mm-hmm. it understands Superman as a character.
This was really like a couple movie almost, right? With like Lois and Clark and like their dynamic and everything. Like,
kind of.
There's love story there.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's love story there. But like a lot of like the more serious plot points of the movie dealt with that and like their relationship. Mm-hmm. But then during those, you got James Gunn just couldn't help himself and, you know, had to inject some humor into some rather serious, or could have been serious situations. Specifically, the two that stand out to me were. When she's getting on to the tea saucer and the garage gate is like a 20-second lift. And I'm like, I know what's going to happen here because I see the door and it's going to be slow. But I was really not prepared for how long it was actually going
to
be.
Oh, they just lingered on that. Yeah.
It was funny. And the second one that stood out to me was when he just kind of like, I wasn't sure if it was his apartment or her apartment that he just kind of like flew into the open window of. But like he sits down and like is having like a quiet moment as like a battle's going on in the background with Green Lantern, Hawkgirl, and Mr. Fantastic. And then suddenly Lois is there and like, she's like, should you go help them? He's like, nah, they got this. It's fine. Like, I get it. And it was a different take on it. But, like, it was a little more humor than I anticipated in many of my Superman movies that I've gotten in the past. And I was okay with it, but it was definitely different.
Well, I think on that regard, it's trying to make sure you understand that this universe is not the Snyderverse, DC Extended Universe. That one was, at turns, way too self-serious. And when it did humor, it did it in the most juvenile way possible. And this definitely wasn't that. It was different.
But it was James Gunn humor.
Yeah, but I also... It's interesting that one scene with Superman and Lois having their serious conversation, this weird dimensional projection is going on in the background. It's funny. I actually thought that scene was very funny, even if it is supposed to be a serious scene, and I agree with you on that.
I liked it. But I mean, it was conflicting tones that you got several times throughout the movie.
Someone online that I read, like on Reddit, also pointed out something that I hadn't thought of, which was, this is that scene, like, in Iron Man, where he's going off to save the president, or when... Captain America is fighting the Winter Soldier to stop millions of people from getting killed all over the world, and everyone's going, where are the Avengers at? This is that scene from the other perspective, where you have the one Avenger going, nah, they got this, I don't need to show up for this one. I've got other things I'm worrying about, you know? Like, it's that kind of sequence, and I kind of appreciate it. For once, you see a superhero going, I don't need to show up. I've got a different major problem going on. We've all got crises. Let's just trust that the people I work with can handle their shit.
Yeah, and you know, and that's fair, because you know, the whole Justice Gang or Justice Pals, whatever they were,
Super Friends, you know, it's fine.
Yeah, Super Friends, whatever you want to call them. Like,
I liked that gag. Honestly, I thought that was funny.
I did. I love Nathan Fillion as Green Lantern.
Oh yeah, like, he's a great haircut, Guy Gardner.
That haircut, like, he had to have just said, like, give me just the most stupid looking bowl cut you can possibly think of, and I'm just gonna roll with it. And he was awesome. Uh-huh. He was great. He was fantastic. The casting, like you said, it was a home run across the board. Mm-hmm. Nicholas Holt as Luther sold it to the nth degree. He was amazing. And, you know, I didn't mind, you know, the Superman. I wasn't sure how I would feel about David Cornsweet. Like, he's got the look and everything, but could he pull it off? And, like, he definitely brought some more humanity to it, especially with his parents. You know, there was a lot of dynamic between him and his parents that I really liked, both sets of them. Nice little Easter egg with Bradley Cooper, too, as Jor-El there. Yeah. That was kind of neat.
Oh, yeah. Spoilers for this whole thing. I don't think either of us are going to be able to hold back at this point.
Yeah. And I mean, and there wasn't much spoilage in this movie. I didn't know he was going to be in it, and I thought that was pretty cool.
They didn't hold that back, yeah.
They held that back nice, which usually is not what DC does. They usually blow their load somewhere along the line.
Well, it's a different people in charge now, so.
And you know what? Maybe that's a good thing.
No, I agree. I liked a lot of the characters. I liked a lot of the action and the setting and all the weird places this movie goes to, because it goes to some weird places. I'm like, I don't think I would have expected anywhere in the Snyderverse that someone would be like, oh, Lex Luthor has created a pocket universe and is storing aliens and people he doesn't like in there, and it's just weird and full of black holes and particles and looks really cool. Like, that looked like a set piece pulled straight out of Guardians of the Galaxy, which I get is your point. This was a James Gunn movie, and I can see how people might get tired of his shtick if this is what they're used to. I came to like James Gunn from his really weird crap before he became a superhero director, so when people are like, it's a James Gunn movie, I'm sitting there going, wait, there's brain slugs taking people over and making themselves into a giant mass of sexy Michael Rooker? I don't remember that in this movie, and if that's in here, that's a Superman I'll watch. But
I forgot he did Slither. That's a really nice, that's a very underrated, like, funky horror movie.
Love that movie. Good. Yeah, Slither is great, but that's like when people are like, this is a James Gunn movie. I go, is it? Because I've seen some really fucked up shit from him. Have you guys seen Super or like some of his other crap? Because he did some trauma stuff that is definitely not this.
Yeah, and I mean, the Nathan Fillion being in Slither as well. Like, I had to look it up to make sure, because I'm like, he looks different, but that is Nathan Fillion.
That is Nathan Fillion,
like, Yeah, they come as a package, you know, James Gunn and Nathan Fillion. So
I think what I liked about this movie is that it does work as a successful launch for the DC universe. I think where this movie falls a little short for me and why it's a B+, A-, is because at the end of the day, it's not the best solo Superman movie.
Sure. I could buy that.
It focuses a lot on setting up the world, dropping us right into the action, skipping past a lot of story that, like, yes, okay, we've seen a version of it a few times, but we haven't seen it for this character. Getting us into the universe as fast as possible so that we don't have just yet another origin story, which is fair. That's fine. I get the impulse for that. But in the process of it, it feels like a... When I used to describe how like reviews for the Marvel movies, it was like you'd have an Avengers movie, and then you'd have a Captain America movie soon after that was like an Avengers 0.5 movie, because he was always pushing the Avengers storyline further, even if most of the Avengers weren't there. This is what this feels like. This doesn't feel like a Justice League movie, but it definitely feels like a 0.5 movie of a Justice League continuity. And it doesn't focus as much as I would like on Superman and Lois Lane and Lex Luthor to develop them as stronger characters and their interactions so that we understand where they're coming from, as like a solo Superman movie that didn't have to introduce the Justice Gang and Metamorpho and everything we're learning about this world in here right now. I love Lois Lane in this movie. I think Rachel Brosnahan is the perfect person to cast for her after having watched her for like 5 seasons of Mrs. Maisel and just see her motor mouth patter and how she can be brassy and awesome. But she disappears for whole stretches of this, and the movie kind of forgets that she and Superman are together for like the whole middle act. And it's just like, I want more of this, And we have a 0.5 movie instead.
I can buy that. Yeah, she was fantastic. Mm-hmm. And Mrs. Maisel's one, I got to watch. My wife watched that. She said it was amazing. It's and knowing great. That she was in it, I'm going to definitely pick that one up and check it out. Mm-hmm. Like, she was fantastic as Lois. I bought their dynamic and their relationship wholeheartedly.
Yeah, their banter when he's Clark Kent and they're at the Daily Planet, and then them having dinner and her interviewing him as Superman and all that, that really developed a lived-in chemistry between them and a relationship between them that I liked. I just wish there was more of that in the movie, because it's not Superman without Lois, and the movie almost was like, well, we don't need Superman or Lois in these scenes right now. Let's focus on other stuff. And I got a little... like, the whole middle act is really almost a Mr. Terrific movie, which is great. He's fantastic in this movie, but it's not his movie.
Yeah, that's a fair point. That's a fair point. There was a lot more of him in the movie than I thought we were going to get, which was fine. He did a great job as Mr. Fantastic. I think it was Edai Gal... Gathegi, I think, is who that
I'm not
that?
Even going to try bothering pronouncing his name, because I know I'll say it wrong.
I'm butchering it. But he did a great job.
And he's fantastic as Mr. Terrific. As you said, Nathan Fillion is good as Green Lantern. I kind of felt like Hawkgirl got a little lost in there, but the few sequences we got with her were great.
Yeah.
Like, I'm looking... they're saying that they're probably going to do spin-off TV shows for some of these characters, and I'm like, yes, please, give me a Mr. Terrific show or movie, like, special something. Give me something with Hawkgirl. Let me see more of them, because Hawkgirl is one of those characters that hasn't gotten a lot of representation on screen. The last we saw of the Hawks was the Justice Society showing up in Black Adam, and even then, the movie couldn't explore what Hawkman's backstory is, and it's rich and weird and detailed. And we need some of that that isn't just from the Arrowverse, which did it so terribly.
Yeah, that's a good point, too. She did get kind of lost throughout the movie. She did have a really nice scene, though, where she takes the one president for a ride.
Yeah, she handled her business.
I can appreciate that.
And it was nice to see that, like, the movie understands the Justice Society doesn't operate by Superman's rules and has their own way of doing things. And her scene underlines that and makes you interested in how, like, a movie of theirs is going to work in comparison to this. Like, it sets up a lot. I wouldn't be surprised to see, like, along with a hot girl to Mr. Terrific something or other, and we got Lanterns coming up start of the year. If, like, you know, after Supergirl and something else comes up, we get a little Justice Society movie that is, like, their characters plus a couple other people. I think, like, in the past, Supergirl has served on the Justice Society, so it would make sense if, like, they introduce a couple more heroes and then do a Justice Society crossover that isn't, like a major act ender like the Avengers usually are, but it's just, like, this movie of these characters you've seen before we move on to building a bigger plot line right now.
I could buy that. That makes sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's a lot going on in here that I think that is very interesting. And it's all not related to Superman.
It's funny, though, because, like, the movie clocked in at, like, a real crisp 2 hours, 9 minutes.
Yep, it's real tight.
It's really tight, and there's not a whole lot of, like, down in the movie, as is James Gunn's style anyway.
Yeah.
It was it's in, like, that weird kind of hybrid zone where, like, could this have benefited for another 30 minutes worth of movie? Probably.
Yeah.
But, like, I think you gave us such a nice, neat little package here that if you pad this movie with 30 minutes of exhibition and 30 minutes of backstory, it might drag it down a little bit. Because I thought the pacing was good enough for me where I didn't mind that it was as short as it was and they didn't flesh out everything they could. I got enough of things. I clearly got Luther's disdain for Superman.
Yeah, I got that. Fantastic. I got that. I just wanted more development of why. And it's not because I don't understand that Lex Luthor is a megalomaniacal genius who thinks he's supposed to be the one to save the world. I just like maybe a little more highlighting of that by his interactions with Superman before this, or if he shows up in the next movie as a villain again and we get a little more of that back and forth. We only got, like, two scenes with the two of them even sharing screen real estate, and both
it's
of them
are
really short. So it doesn't, like, develop their dynamic the way I want. It's a lived-in dynamic without the scenes to go for it. And again, that's using the previous movies and shows we've seen to give us that shorthand, but that's different versions of these characters. So we need to have some more development of that.
Yeah, I buy that. Like, I think I think they trusted the audience a little bit to kind of just know what they know about the characters in general. Mm-hmm. And they definitely sped through some of it. I would like to see a little bit more, you're right, of why they hate each other, or he hates him so much. Superman clearly doesn't hate him. He almost pities him, which makes Lex go even crazier. But, like, I want to know, like, why. Like, he comes out, like, with the government, and he's like, you know, he's dangerous. He's an alien. We can't trust him. I have this information. He's just got this, like, real big vendetta. And to your point of him being, like, you know, the megalomaniacal. There you go. That word, kind of person, and the way they see himself. Like, he gives that, like...
Yeah,
that monologue. The performance. Like, I should be the savior.
He does it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And he sells it really well.
But this is the thing: is like, there's been enough versions of Lex over the years. Is Lex upset with Superman because Lex was going to be the savior of the world, and Superman, quote unquote, stole that from him? Is he upset with Superman simply because he's an alien? Is he upset with Superman because at one point they were friends and now they're not, and now he has a hate boner for him? Because depending upon how far you go in comics and movies, all of those backstories are true. So, and we don't get any of them. So we don't really know. He just, right now, he's just a xenophobe. Which, if we're accepting this and we want to insert some politics into it, then that does reflect current political standpoints.
Sure.
But, again, that's like inserting real world into the movie, and the movie could do a little more about building that.
Yeah, and Lex was just he was just a really vicious guy.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he does, you know, he pulls the hostage out in front of Superman, basically like throwing it in his face, like, you know, you're powerless, I'm the one that's in control now, kind of thing. And like, it's just like he's a really evil dude.
Yeah.
And I would like more Nicholas Holt because he really did a great performance. The bald too, like the only scene I didn't like from him was when they raid the Fortress of Solitude, and the CGI in there was the one thing that just got me. It was one of those scenes that, like, compare it to like Iron Man when he has the scene in Iron Man 3 when he's saving Pepper, and he's got like all the things flying around him, and like, you know, there's stuff going on, and like that scene was like reverse a little bit here, where Lex was kind of walking through all this chaos going on, and like the non-flinching and the non, like, the badass walk, I just didn't buy it. It just too green screen in that one scene, and I was really hoping I wasn't going to get more of that throughout the movie, and I really didn't, which was good, but that one scene just kind of was like, I wasn't feeling it.
I get you. There's a couple of small moments like that in there, and I mean, the movie does at times fall a little bit into the big CGI splashy effects instead of like really focusing on like just two characters going at it. So that's, I mean, I get that. I get what you're saying. It's a weakness of modern superhero storytelling that we do often have one of those splashy, big, stupid CGI spectacles to cap off everything. Right. I mean, it doesn't end with that. We then get a much more character focused climax afterwards, but still there's a bit of that like dumb superhero dumbness. I will agree with you there.
Yeah, like even the one fight that he was having out with the Barovian Hammer and her name's escaping me.
Nanite girl.
Like, reboot or whatever her name was.
Know.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I didn't.
Yeah, it's escaping me. But like the scene when they were fighting too in like the stadium, like that looked a lot better. And it was the same kind of like idea of like what it was in the Fortress of Solitude. So they did have points in the movie where they kind of did the same thing but gave us a better result. But to your point, like, you've seen a million of those, and they have to be in every movie now. And, like, I just, if you're going to do them the second way. Do them much better.
Yeah. No, I definitely see what you're saying on that one.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm still excited enough for the DC Universe to go forward, because I think what's there of James Gunn's vision is strong. It's an interesting take. It's a different take. I'm more excited for this than I was for fucking Snyderverse and the DCEU that came afterwards.
Yeah.
God, that first run of movies from, like, Man of Steel, which I didn't hate, but I wasn't super excited about, into Batman v Superman, which I did hate, into Suicide Squad, which I really did hate, into Wonder Woman, which was good until the last act, which was DC saying, you need to have a splashy CGI ending, and it didn't work.
Yep.
And then Justice League was an abomination that Zack Snyder required 2 extra hours to kind of save.
it's sad when like your 5 hour movie is just a little bit better than your 3 hour movie.
Right. And yeah.
I don't know. Like I couldn't even get through the entire thing. I tried.
I will say if we did get a 4 hour cut of this Superman with more of like all the character and plot and everything that I feel is needed, I'd actually watch that. I don't necessarily think it has to be the de facto version, but I wouldn't mind like a half hour, hour, 2 hour longer director's cut just to experience more of this vision.
Well, and you love media, so I know you're going to get the hard copy of this when it comes out.
Of course,
I'm very, you know, when you get it, let me know what you see. Like, I guarantee this has, you know, extra features, deleted scenes, a ton of shit on there.
Yeah, he spent months re-editing it just to get it the flow just right because he's detail oriented like that on his film. So it wouldn't surprise me if there's at least like a half hour of deleted scenes they include on the Blu-ray at least.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So this is the launch. We had Creature Commandos, which I don't know if you even watched that.
Did not.
It was fine. It was fun. It was interesting. It's a very James Gunn-y kind of thing. It's like, let's do the Suicide Squad, but with Universal Monsters instead. And if you're in for that, it was fun. But it's not like the start of the universe that people are going to pay attention to. After this, we have Peacemaker Season 2, which I'm in for. I like that show. And then we have Lanterns, which is Hal Jordan and Jon Stewart walking through a small town and fighting crime, while for some reason Guy Gardner shows up to be a pest, which I think could be fun.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I want to see Lanterns done correctly. Mm-hmm. You know, there's always so much hope for the Green Lantern. There's always like a little bit that's good, but then it just kind of falls flat at some point. You know, Ryan Reynolds tried, and he couldn't even save that one.
CGI costumes, like,
yeah, it was just bad. But like, they got some really unique powers, and there's a really cool story there. And I would like more Lantern. I want to see that done correctly. So I got high hopes for that.
Yep. And then next year, we have a full year before the next movie, which is practically unheard of in this age of superhero cinema. Supergirl comes out.
I mean, I will see it.
You know, I will see it.
Podcast, obviously. I
mean, yeah, we're but, like, you're trapped now.
I'm trapped now. Yeah. But at the same time, like this, like we shit on DC all the time, and like this gave me a little bit of hope that maybe they're trending in a good direction. And I loved the Batman, which we're going to talk about later on.
Yep. One of these
days. I thought that was fantastic as far as like another DC branch of something we got that was very good, and we'll talk about that when we do. But like this really. If this is a 0.5 point, but as a launching point, this was a good start.
Yeah.
And they could have fallen flat, and they really didn't. And the casting saved it. The writing was good. The editing was pretty crisp, and the pacing was good. It was overall, like you said, a very B+, A- movie. And I will take that nowadays.
Yeah.
With some of the things that we've gotten.
At best, I'd give Man of Steel a C+. Like,
sure.
Batman v Superman was the gentleman's F of a D-. Like, yeah. Ugh. Like, I thought the casting in that movie could have been good. And that's the only reason why I don't give it a straight up F. But, well, and that one fight sequence in the warehouse with Batman. That was great, even though he probably killed like so many dudes and Batman shouldn't. But outside of that, that movie is crap.
It's so bad.
Yeah,
like, I still have visions of that scene in the courtroom, and just like when that and like you see his face, it's the saddest you've ever seen Superman look, and you're like, you are just this is not.
And then he flies away. There's people burning alive in there, and Superman flies. What the fuck is that?
Turns his tail and leaves. You know, I got way more emotion in this movie than I got in that movie when it felt like there was actual consequence because that universe was up and going.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I'm happy we got a Superman that understands Superman. I'm sure from this point we'll like feedback will happen and Gunn will adjust. But we're getting there.
We're getting there. And any trending in the right direction for DC is a win.
It's a win.
Because they've had a lot of whiffs over the last 20 plus years when Marvel's been hitting home run after home run. Now, like, that superhero market's ripe for the taking. You know, you got a lot of fans of the old school Batman and Superman that have not, you know, I'm sure have been chomping for something to get really excited about. And this movie's a very good start for that. And I hope that we continue that way. I really do.
Yeah. No, it sets up a lot that I'm really excited for it without hating this movie. I did like this movie, even though I'm bitching a lot about it, but
Yeah. I mean, we got to bitch because we got to be fair. You know, we got to pick the holes out of things, but we also can say, even though there are flaws, we still enjoyed it.
Well, and it is interesting because a good movie is hard to pick apart. A bad movie you can pick apart all day long and write the longest articles possible. Superman's that interesting thing where you can pick just enough apart to, like, say something without just blowing smoke up his cape the whole time.
Precisely. Yep.
So, Superman's good. Go see it. We enjoyed it.
Yeah.
For the most part.
I'm in for the most part. Yeah.
It was a qualified yes.
For sure. And that's a good thing.
This has been Not So Live from Asteroid G, getting drunk on a planet with a red sun. I'm your host, Mike Finkelstein.
Hey, your buddy Mike the Ghoul gonna go pick up the dog that he left with his friend too, because he just, you know, bailed out without telling anybody for the entire movie. Bye.
Good dog, but bad dog.
Very bad dog.
We will see you all next time.